have the house of the Lord filled. I'm just so excited to be in front of you this morning. If you have your Bibles with you, I'd love it if you'd turn to Luke chapter 12 with me. And we're going to be looking today at verses 13 through 21 is what we're going to be looking at today. And I don't do a whole lot of preaching on giving. I really don't. But when the Lord lays it on my heart, I have to do it. And I don't mind, because there's a reason. There's something that I'm supposed to bring to y'all. Now, we've talked about before, we've talked about in the past, how do we draw closer to God through our everyday walks? I preach on this all the time for y'all, to be spiritually fit, to be in your word, to be in your prayer life, to be doing all the things that you are supposed to do. But a lot of times I'll skip over the money part. And I'll go, oh, they got it. They know. Well, then when the Lord lays it on my heart, I say, okay, so, and I preach it. I do exactly what I'm supposed to do. Or I do exactly what I feel led to do, because he's right. I pray for his words and not my own, okay? So please know that. That's my prayer every day of the week. I pray that. Every day I do. And I ask God for guidance. I ask God for leadership into what he wants me to give his people, which are you. Because really, all I am is a messenger. That's it. That's all I am. Just like you're a messenger too. You are. Through everything you do, you're a messenger for God. So as we look at these scriptures today, I pray that you open up your mind and your heart to what you're reading and comprehending and taking in to your body. Does that make sense? Of course it does. Let's get busy today. Luke chapter 12, verse 13. The parable of the rich fool. Starting at 13, let's read together. Someone in the crowd said to him, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me." Jesus replied, "Man, who appointed me a judge or an arbitrator between you, or an arbiter between you?" Then he said to them in 15, "Watch out. Be on your guard against all kinds of greed. Life does not consist in an abundance of possessions." My title to you today is, which barn are you working to fill? When we get on into the scriptures and stuff. But automatically open up with a family dispute. Now, if you go back to chapter 12, you will see that there are thousands of people here where Jesus is talking. They even said, we don't know the number, but if you look at 12:1, 12:2, it says, when a crowd of many thousands had gathered. And back then, they only counted the men a lot of times. So that's not including the women and the children. So we could have easily had an excessive number of people hanging on Jesus' every word. And we have somebody brave enough to just scream out, "Teacher, tell him to give me my half. I must have it." It doesn't work like that. So I could see where Jesus would have said, "Man, Who appointed me? I don't know what you're talking about." Think about that as we go. And then he tells them in 15, he says, "Watch out, be on your guard against all kinds of greed." Let's open up with a word of prayer. Father God, we know that this attacks our lives so many times, God. Greed does. And Lord, it could be over money or whatever thing, Father God. A lot of times we lose that trust, dear Lord, that we have in you. And we think we know the better way. But God, we know that that is not the case at all. And we need to trust you with everything that you give us, God. Help me, Father God, to just give your message today, to do the best I can with it, Father God, to, Lord, to just let me look at you through your word, Father God, and see where we put in, see where we fit in, Father God, at this time. And Lord, help us to deal with it in today's time. We know this was from years ago, Father God, but your word never changes, dear God, just we do. I pray, God, that you will be with us. Help us to be not like the rich fool, Father God, but to be more like the person you've called us to be, Father God. Your servant, dear Lord. Your messenger, dear God. Be with us, dear God. Lay it on our hearts whatever you want us to feel, to say, to do, Father. Lord, be with us as we study. Be with us as we look and as we, Father, learn. Father, we love you and we thank you. Thank you, God, for all the blessings you give us. Thank you, God, for each and every one of them because they come, they flow from you. Dear Lord, we love you and we thank you. These things I ask in your name. Amen. We get the warning from Jesus right there in 15. Now, it is not wrong for man to possess riches, but the Bible warns us that money cannot buy happiness. And a lot of times we feel like it can. It seems like the older I get, the less I have, I'm more happy. Because the more stuff I have, the more stress I have. Does that make sense? It does to me in my life. That's where I feel like I'm at a point for. I will contemplate myself probably a little bit farther than I should. I'm not one that brings home something every day and say, oh, Tanya, look at what I bought. This is so awesome. It's a shiny fidgeter spinner and it's supposed to give me something to do with my time when I'm bored. I don't do stuff. I mean, I don't do stuff like that. If I buy myself a tool or something, I'm the one standing in Lowe's looking up going, is this going to be okay to do? Or is she going to get so mad? Or is there something else do? Or, you know, this is all playing out in my head as I'm looking at what I want to purchase. I know, and you go, wow, you're overthinking it. No, I'm probably not. You don't know my wife. But anyway, no, I'm just kidding. So as I sit there and I contemplate, and these all things go through my mind, so I really overanalyze, I really think about it before I put. But Jesus tells us in his word right here, he says, be on your guard against all kinds of greed. Life does not consist in an abundance of possessions. Life does not consist of that. But you think about it, money can't buy peace of heart. Money can't buy entrance into the place of God. Money can tend to corrupt in our hands. Even if God has given you money, and someday you'll have to give an account of every penny you spent. The IRS keeps tabs on us every year, right? That ain't nothing compared to the book that God's keeping on us. Amen? Think about it. That's truth. That's nothing compared to what God's keeping. So when God blesses us with something and it's money, we're called to give our part to God. And you say, where does that come from? It comes from Leviticus 27. Look, and you don't have to flip. Look. A tithe, this is for Leviticus 27:30. A tithe of everything from the land, whether grain from the soil or from the fruit of the trees, belongs to the Lord. It is holy to the Lord. Bible's exact words. So the tithe, the first fruits, what we receive in, is holy to God. And a lot of times too, talking to myself too, I will tell you this because I'm fixing to share a story with you. You have a chance to do that. Is it easy to do that? No, I totally, completely, 100% agree that you have to let go and you have to let God. You have to trust Him. is what you have to do. And you have to trust him completely. Not with just a little bit of stuff, but with everything, people. Everything you trust him with. It's a total let go is what it is. Because a lot of times, if you feel like you can't trust God to let go, then we've got a problem right there. There's something in your walk that's stopping you from being the full person that God is calling you to be. Amen? Stay with me, please do. This is important. Don't lie. I do not want to speak over anybody's head today. But let me tell you something. When Tanya and I were young, and Tanya had a whole slew of kids, and I don't know what happened, but we kept having child after child after child. And so, and it was something in the water, something happened in the toggle, I don't know. But anyway, y'all get it, it was in the water. So when we had had our second child, and Tanya had came to me, and she goes, "Michael, I'm really feeling led by God that I want to stay at home." And I looked at her, and I'm like, "Yeah, right. You seen our bills? We can't afford it, chick. Keep going." And that's about how it was. And I shut it down. I shut it down. And I was coming to church at the time. I just started back going. I just rededicated my life. And God's already thrown a test up at me like at week one, I feel like. It's about like the bat. He had a wingspan of 7 foot and he was chasing me. Blood dripping the whole nine yards. You get what I'm saying, though? I totally shut it down because I was scared. Is that too honest? I was scared. I could not trust God enough to let go. I was scared. And I said, "There's no way. I don't know what bankruptcy looks like. I don't even want to do it. That's embarrassing." And it's not that I had a lot of stuff back then, but I just didn't want to let go because it's like, it's so hard. And if that, Tanya, if you stay at home with the kids, which would be a wonderful thing. And Tanya would hit me with all these things. "Well, it's going to save here and it's going to save here." And I just wouldn't listen to her. And God was working on her heart and I had a brick wall up in front of mine. And finally, Tanya started praying that God would change my heart. That's the truth. I'm giving y'all a play-by-play. And the more he started working on me, the more I started letting my guard down. And I finally said, came to her one day and I said, "You're right." I said, "I'm not sure what's fixing to happen here. We're going to continue giving to God just like we've been doing." Because I was excited about tithing. And I thought, well, there goes tithing. That's out. God's going to be mad at us for that. It's gone. All those little things that I was speculating, that I was pushing off was happening. But I didn't realize that God was working in the background the entire time is what was so beautiful. Had no idea. So, Anna's birthday is January the 9th of 2001. That's when she was born. Tanya has not come home yet. We're preparing for this. When we don't know Anna's coming up, we know it's going to be the first of the year. So keep in mind, first of the year. Your taxes go January to December, okay? Keep in mind, January the 9th. We're 9 days in. January the 9th rolls around. Anna's born. Tanya has 6 weeks at home maternity, and then she's supposed to go back to work. But she's already told me she doesn't want to go back. She's already said her goodbyes at work. I'm still kicking the ground a little bit reluctantly. Well, this is just going to be shambles. I don't know what I'm going to do. I guess I'm going to put up a cardboard box. Is that blockhouse for rent down there at the Carter's? I might have to be, you know. These are the things that are going through my head. And these are real thoughts, people. They're real thoughts. And you have them too when something like this happens. You have them too. You can't tell me you don't. Wonder about the bread. Well, power. I don't know how we're going to get water. I guess I'll tap into the neighbors. I'm going to buy cable. I'm going to run a line over there. Because I ain't missing my Alabama football. Y'all, I'm kicking shins now. Y'all know what I'm saying. kicking shins. It's January the 9th rolls around. That beautiful baby Anna is born. And man, we are just so pleased. And I said, "Okay, Tanya, God's worked on me enough. I'm going to trust him. And so I wrote out everything that was going to happen, and wrote it all down on a page, and I prayed about it, and I just slid the piece of paper on my bed, on my notebook, just went out in front of the Lord, and I said, I can't do this. This battle belongs to you today. This battle's yours, because I can't do it. Well, just so happened, I went on back to work a week later. Everything was normal. Everything was still just exactly. Nothing had changed. Hunting season ends January 31st, or this is back when it ended, okay? So you got to put this all in timeline. January 31st, hunting season ends. February the 1st, I get a phone call. Hey, need you to come over to Katoma. This is when I worked at the waterworks. Okay, come over to Katoma maintenance. Supervisor wants to talk to y'all. Went over there. Hey, was like, hey, there was only three of us in a group. We were based out of downtown. They were transferring us the whole time, and we had no idea. So January, they're all big hunters, so the overtime kicks up in February. So I'm going in there blind. They're like, what's all this about? I said, I have no idea. We're just here. Meet this guy. Hey, how you doing? He was like, and I was thinking, man, this cat right here, this supervisor loves to work. He likes it. And he, you know, he ain't ashamed of it. Well, I was just a single, was the only instrument tech for the waterworks at the time. And I told him, and he said, well, tell me about yourself. I said, just had a baby. He's like, man, that's great. Congratulations. He said, you probably going to need some OT, ain't you? Help pay for that baby. I'm like, me? Yeah, I do. This might be good. He says, well, what do you want to do? Huh? Anything you want? How about that? That sounds good to me. We're going to do 2 hours in the evening. We're going to work Saturday 6 to 2 for 10. No lunch. I said, oh, I'm all about this. Sunday's off. Sunday's off. Go to church. Yeah. I went home and I told Tanya, time and a half, 2 hours in the evening every evening, 10 hours on Saturday once a week, equals you up to about 36 hours of overtime at time and a half. I thought, Lord Jesus, you answered my prayer. Tanya can come home. I'm making more money than when she was working now. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, for letting this happen. All that worry that I'd had building up to that point, this was like months of worry, has gone. Because I've given it to the Lord now, and he's worked it out. Not everybody's story will be the same, but that's how mine went. The end of that year, Tanya can testify to it. We had continued giving to our church that entire time. You know what? What was so cool about it? When we did the final books and did everything in it, every dime that I tithed, we made that much over the year before. Every dime that I tithed when they sent us the report, we made over the previous year our combined incomes. And I thought, all I had to do was trust him. And that was all the way back in 2001. All I had to do was trust him. But you know me, I kicked those rocks. I complained. I wasn't going to be able to watch my football. I didn't think I'd have running water. I didn't know what it was going to be like. But in my mind, I'd always gone there, but God had it the entire time. Are you willing to let go, is my question. Are you willing to let go and let God have control? Not just of the things you want him to have control of, but the entire thing. The entire thing. Are you ready to go all in for Christ? Are you ready to go all in? Look at the next set of scriptures right there. Look at what he says in the parable. Need to pick this up. 16 right there. So he says, y'all saw it? He says, Christ, Jesus says, be on your guard against all kinds of grief. Life does not consist in an abundance of possessions. He's teaching them something. And then he said, and he told them this parable, 16. The ground of a certain rich man yielded an abundant harvest. So he thought to himself, what shall I do? I have no place to store my crops. Then he said, this is what I'll do. I'll tear down my barns and I'll build bigger ones. And there I will store all my surplus grain. And I'll say to myself, you have plenty of grain laid up for many years. Take life easy, eat, drink, and be merry. Poo-hoo, 20. But God said to him, you fool. This very night your life will be demanded from you. Then you will get what you have prepared for yourself. Has it dawned on you that we run off the grace of Jesus Christ? We do. We are all sinners saved by the grace. Do you realize that the only reason you're standing here today is because the grace of Jesus Christ? That God could call you home at any moment, any time. I'm not guaranteed the next step. I'm not guaranteed the next word. Do you realize that how close that falls in the balance? We've been in school all week and we did a sermon that was based off of an Edwards. Brother Alvin, you've probably heard of it before. And I'm going to preach on it a little bit Wednesday night. It was so good to me. But a sermon from 1774, and you got to read the words on it and everything. And it was so good that when we got down to it, to the final part, he was saying, but we are just a speck. Just a speck in God's eyes. And that we have to do exactly what we are supposed to do for him, who you're called to be. And I'm going to get more into it Wednesday night. But listen at this story. You have to realize that if you have it, that God has blessed you with it. That it is because of God that you have received it. Look at what this story I found says. And in Mark 12:17, it says it too, because it said, then Jesus said to them, give back to Caesar what is Caesar's, and to God what is God's. It says it in the Bible, Old Testament and New Testament, to give. God expects it. Give just like you're supposed to. So listen to this story that I found. This was so good. So I take it this was from an old Baptist church who was made up of a farming community. And it says, the day the church treasurer resigned, the church asked the local grain manager to take the position. He agreed under two conditions. Firstly, that no treasurer's report would be given for the first year. There's no treasurer's report given. And secondly, that no questions be asked about finances during that year. That wouldn't go over good here, but you're not allowed to add a single question for the first year. The people were surprised at his request, but finally agreed, since most of them did business with him. Most of them agreed. And he was a trusted man, it says. So at the end of the year, 1 year had gone by and he had given his report. The church indebtedness of $228,000 had been paid. The minister's salary has been increased by 8%. The cooperative program gifts had been paid 200%. There was no outstanding bills and there was a cash balance of $11,252. Immediately, the shocked congregation asked, how did you do it? Where did the money even come from? They were in shock. He said, he quietly answered, most of you bring your grain to me. Throughout the year, I simply withheld 10% on your behalf and gave it to the church in your name. You didn't even miss it. Do you see what we could do for the Lord if we were willing to give at least the tithe to God who really owns it? And so the new treasurer had made his point. So when I tell you a story about my own personal life, about how God provided, there's no difference between me and you. There's none. We're all children of God. Think about that. Think about that today. Trust him with all of it, with everything, because God's the reason you have it in the first place. Jesus tells us the parable of a rich man who was dead set on filling his earthly barns, but missed out on filling the heavenly barn. We spent our entire lives filling the earthly barns of material possessions, yet people lay nothing up in heaven where our home will be. Think about that. 21 says, I know, Leslie. 21 right there at the end says, this is how it will be with whoever stores up things for themselves, but is not rich toward God. Let's close. Father God, what a wonderful day you have given us, Father God. We thank you, Lord, for these cooler temperatures. Dear God, I pray, Lord, that you will be with us. Thank you, God, for your word and what we can pull from it, God, to show that everything belongs to you and nothing comes from us. God, you bless us with it. You do, Father God. We don't want money to take our minds off you, God. We want to be exactly who you need us to be. We need to just trust you, Father, even when we can't see around that corner. Help us to always be trusting you in all that we say and all that we do and all that we receive. Everything, God, it comes from you. Lord, thank you, God, for this parable. Thank you, God, for your word that we can read. And Father, we want to be working to fill the barn, Father God, in heaven. We know this is a temporary life, God, that we're down here. We're only here for a short while, Father God. Lord, we love you and we thank you, Father, for your word, for all that you do, for all that you give us. Forgive us when we fail you, Lord. It is in your precious and holy name I pray. Amen.